Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Statutes and laws and learning of them
and aspiring to do them and add them to your lives. This particular day is where we come back to understanding our culture, because these laws were given to us as a way to conduct our lives so that we would be a set-apart nation, for we are the ones that were made in his image. We're the only family he has ever known, this particular nation. We are the ones that get the whooping from the Most High, because we are the ones that received the commandments from the Most High. And we are the ones to be an example in the whole earth before the Most High, to set the precedence, not in the way that we've been misled to by being the leaders in sports and fashion and hip-hop and everything else that's degrading and derogatory remarks and the way we conduct ourselves now. We've strayed away. But even with our straying away, we're copied, emulated. Speculation is upon us, and it's time we begin to understand why. Wake up and know that we are the children of Israel. There are 12 tribes. We are the scattered diaspora. And we've been called upon to wake up, Kwame Yasharela, and rise up, not to be afraid. For the Most High has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. This show, this lesson, this day, when we come before you, is designed to do just that, that the disciples carried on in after Christ came and fulfilled the law. They continued in the Sabbath, the Shabbat. They continued in the reading of the laws. They continued in exhortation and singing of songs and psalms and hymns. These commandments, as I've mentioned, these laws are a way for us to live our lives, for we are not going to continue to be a lawless nation. However, all that say they're Israel are not Israel, and two-thirds will be destroyed. And as the more that we wake up, the more that we have those that infiltrate our camps, our fellowships, our gatherings, and we have the spirit of heresy and Jezebel, and just so many spirits of people saying that what it used to be is not the way it's going to be, and this is how it is, and it's because of these curses and the things that we're up under. I don't know about you, but I'm going to stick to and conform to this word, and exactly as it says, there'll be no transliteration with me. It's exactly what I'm going to do and how I'm going to go about conducting my life. Seeking to please the Most High as I seek his kingdom and his righteousness, as I seek it on a daily basis. It's my prayer that you do the same. Lift up your head, Zion. Psalms 147:19 says, he showeth us his word. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He revealed it to us people, our forefathers, and we carried it on. And even though we've lost many things in our culture through our captivity and through our judgments, we are still waking up into the truth of knowing who we are. And it's by his mercy and by his grace. Psalms 147:20 says, he hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Most High. He makes it clear in 147:20 that he hath not dealt with any other nation. Yeah, those other nations means other races, foreigners who stand up before you now in your so-called Christian churches trying to preach this Bible to you and not understanding that this is the Hebrew history book. It's our culture. These are the scrolls. This is a documenting of the exodus and sojourn of a people of the Most High. And these books were put together that we might be able to hold fast to the history. It's revealed only to us, these statutes, laws, and judgments. When it speaks of nations in the verse 20, in the Hebrew, that would be goy, where you hear goyim. And that simply means Gentiles, heathens, other races. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. We are the ones that have been under the curses, led back into captivity, and have gone through hell. And our forefathers, we've brought this upon us because we're hard-headed and stiff-necked people. But all praises to the Most High, that his mercy and grace is bringing us back to a place where we're waking up to our heritage and coming back to his commandments. Because in that, in so doing, in keeping these commandments, we have our refuge, our peace, and our safety. And we're going to talk about that some more. Psalms 149 says, praise ye the Most High, sing unto Ahiah a new song, and praise in the congregation of saints. That would be us on this day, the day of worship, the day of praise, not Sunday, the first day. Stop getting caught up into Sunday as this being a Kodesh set apart day where you're supposed to be reverent. No, this is the day for reverence to the Most High. For after the sixth day of creation, the Most High rested and told us to rest as well. So in this time, we come out from amongst her and we honor him and we give him the reverence. We don't speak our own words and seek our own pleasure, but we give him reverence and remember creation. Psalms 149:2 says, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Our king is the Most High. Our king is the Most High. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. This is our Shema, and this is what we quote, and this is what we say when we look towards the east. Verse 3, let them praise his name in the dance. Nothing wrong with dancing before the Most High, as King Dawid did. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel in the harp. You've relegated this to these Christian, pagan Christian churches, but it's not just relegated to pagan Christian churches. This is something that we're commanded to do in Psalms, to praise him with the instruments. Lose the aspect of religion and don't relegate things to a certain experience, because we're called upon to worship him with our whole hearts and with the instruments he's given us knowledge of. David not only created instruments and weapons of war, but he created instruments and music for praise to the Most High. This is a gift from the Most High. Verse 4 says, for the Most High taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Sing when you wake up in the morning and give him praise. Because verse 6 says, let the high praises of the Most High be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in your hand. So your praise must come out your mouth, and let it be a two-edged sword in your hand, meaning that we worship and we praise. Because verse 7 says, do it to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. There's power in your praise, power in your singing, power in your worship on this day, the Shabbat. And don't ever let anyone take that from you.
Success is in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you for this hour and placed in you my power. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I will do exceedingly above all you ask of me. It's in your hands. Follow my plan. Don't wait until the last. Don't wait until the right. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you by my name, and you will never
Shabbat Shalom. Truly success is in our hands if we follow the plan which was laid out by the Most High for us, which is keeping these statutes, laws, and commandments which are not done away with. Do not believe the lie. Do not believe the lie whatsoever. For Acts the 13th chapter tells us that 13 and 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came into Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. This is after Christ had already risen. For you that say the commandments were done away with upon his death, burial, and resurrection. No, after he had ascended, the disciples were still keeping ministry going, teaching, preaching to the different nations, to the scattered 12 tribes, going to find and preach salvation to them, which is in the commandments, and they would still get together in the synagogues, our temples they could find on the Sabbath, and this is what they would do. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. In other words, after reading the law and reading of the prophets, they were saying, check this out. Now, let me encourage you. Let me exhort you. That's what I'm here to do today, is encourage Israel and tell you to hold your head up. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And we are moving into the time of the end of the Gentile rule, and moving into the time of Jacob. Know this, that we are approaching Jacob's trouble. We've been in the tribulation for some time. We are still being persecuted. It's going to get worse. Many will be destroyed, but the Most High made it clear, and we're going to read this later in Nahum, about him knowing those that do trust in him. Let's look at some of the law, Leviticus 19 and 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the butt of thy neighbor, for I am Ahiah. So this particular law that was given down was pretty much saying we are not to stand by. Listen to me clear, because I want to communicate to your spirit and soul so that the warrior inside of you will begin to stand up, because we don't need no cowards in this war. Scripture tells us in your so-called New Testament that those engaged in this warfare cannot entangle themselves with the cares of this world. We have to remove ourselves from the media, the hype, and what the news is saying, because they're fear mongers, and Satan works through fear. We are not to stand by when a human life is in danger. We are not to stand by when a human life is in danger. This particular verse right here gives us a commandment that we are to do something. And it's bad, because in this day we live in now, we got people saying you do not snitch, you do not get involved. When something's going down, you back up, you turn the other cheek, you turn your head, you walk away. True Israel never did that. Moses, Musa, couldn't do that. When he killed one of Pharaoh's soldiers because he was whipping and beating down one of our people, are you willing to stand up and have and find love for your people again? Because these curses and the things that they put upon our people through slavery has caused us to have self-hate and hate our neighbor. But when you start to come back to love, you start to see yourself in the person that's being persecuted. I tell you this because other nations hate us, and it's going to be time for us to start loving one another and be ready to throw down for one another when we're being persecuted by other nations or being beat down. They're trying to paint us as terrorists in this hour as we move into this last time of persecution before HaMashiach comes back. But you've got to be mindful that this is a commandment and a law that you are not to stand by when human life is in danger. Let me move to the next one, which is Deuteronomy 25 and 12. I'm not trying to rush, but I know that many of you have many things that you do on Shabbat, many of the lessons, teachings, and just a life to live that you take care of. So I just want to encourage you for a minute. Deuteronomy 25 and 12 says, then thou shalt cut off her hand, and thine eye shall not pity her. This one is pretty much talking about when men strive together one with another. The previous verse, verse 11, this is making it clear that we're not to spare a pursuer, and we're to look out for the one that's being pursued. So I'm being somewhat thematic today as it pertains to our responsibility to protect one another. I'm going to read verse 25 and 11. I mean, chapter 25, verse 11. When men strive together one with another, and the wife of the one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand and taketh him by the secrets, and we know that means his private parts, then thou shalt cut off her hand, thine eyes shall not pity her. This woman was destroyed for doing what she did. And what they're doing is pointing out that one that is pursuing to destroy one must be stopped when they're doing something that is against another. But we're also to protect that we have a responsibility to protect. Many of us don't look at these laws, these over 613 laws, and what we try and do is talk about them and make them relevant to today's times. So one has the responsibility of taking care of their brothers and sisters, and also of taking care of the one that's being pursued. The reason I bring this up, because in our time, it's like I said, you don't snitch, you don't say anything, you don't make it known what you've seen, you stay out of it. But the Most High made it clear that, as the old term goes, you are your brother's keeper. And we must come back into that time. And I most people don't even understand why I'm prophesying and saying this. It's because we are going to become dependent upon each other as we pull out of dependence upon Babylon for our existence, as they begin to lay down these laws and open these internment camps and restrict you and take away the money system and try and kill off the bartering system and make it harder for you to get food and substance. We will look to each other after we look to the Most High first, and we will have to learn to defend one another and stand against unrighteousness. It's imperative that we begin to understand that. I want to move into this spirit of exhortation. And today our exhortation is going to come from the prophet Nahum. I'm going to go to the first chapter of Nahum. I don't want to belabor the time, so I'll just start reading from Nahum first verse as we go through. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. The Most High is jealous, and the Most High revengeth. The Most High revengeth and is furious. The Most High will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Let's make this clear, that is pertaining to the whole world. The daughter of Babylon will be a part of this as well. Well, most definitely Babylon will suffer the persecutions and the vengeance, but the whole earth is given over into the hands of the wicked. Let's remember, that's what Scripture says. The Most High is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. Will not at all acquit the wicked. The Most High hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. We've seen the judgment of the Most High in one of the most horrendous tornadoes to ever hit this earth in Oklahoma, it being 3 miles wide. He hath his way in the whirlwind. That is exactly what that is in reference to. Verse 4, he rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. There are many rivers that have dried up over in Egypt and in Africa and other various places, and they refuse to let you know this because they do not want you to know that Bible prophecy is true and it's real. Many of the lakes and rivers are drying up all over this earth. Verse 5, the mountains quake at him. And we're experiencing a ton of earthquakes on the west coast right now to where the plates are even beginning to shift. And most people are predicting that there will probably be a flooding of the west coast. The Most High is in charge. He's in control. So his will be done. Whatsoever his will be, that's what we prayed in the beginning. Verse 5, the mountains quake at him and the hills melt. The earth is burned and his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Most High is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trusteth in him. This is the scripture I was bringing out, which says he knoweth them that trusteth in him. The other precepts for that are 1 Chronicles 16 and 34, Psalms 105, Jeremiah 33 and 11, Lamentations 3 and 25, Psalms 1 and 6, 2 Timothy 2:19 is what I want to read to encourage you as we begin to see destruction and as they call natural disasters. No, judgment of the Most High is what it is. Even if it's harp, nothing goes down in this earth without the Most High's permission. He is in full control. They are not in control of anything. I don't care what type of instruments they create, with the mass destruction that mimic natural disasters. It will not work unless the Most High allows it to do so. So he is the one that gives all knowledge for these things to happen. From 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of a higher standard sure, having this seal, the Most High knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So this ties in verse 7 that says, the Most High is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trusteth in him. Take confidence in the fact that Psalms 91 and 1 says, a thousand shall fall at thy left side and, you know, at the right side. What he's saying is that there's going to be judgment happening and falling all around thee. Don't forget the children of Israel were living amongst the people that were suffering from the plagues that were put upon them, but it didn't come nigh their dwelling because the blood was upon them. You keeping these commandments and the Sabbath and the feasts is what? It's your covering and your protection as his judgment begins to fall down. And he's going to know those that are trusting in him and not in their guns, their gold, their silver, their riches, man, the system, but those that put their trust totally in him, not in what you do to save yourself. Nahum 1 and 8, but with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end to the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. So there will be a flood. Verse 9, what do ye imagine against the Most High? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Listen, Israel, this is for you. For while they be folding together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, and they are drunk with man's philosophy and man's theology and man's television programming that makes them think that they're living in a utopia and things are going to be all right. This whole earth is drunk. The cup of Babylon, the daughter of Babylon, the Catholic Church, it says, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. Verse 11, there is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Most High, a wicked counselor. Thus saith the Most High, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through, when he passes through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. So there it is, brothers and sisters, just like the children of Israel, when the judgments and the plagues came through Egypt, he's saying, I'm going to pass through again, but the ones that were afflicted will be afflicted no more. He has afflicted us because of our rebellion and our disobedience, but he's coming with deliverance in the storm, in the cloud. When judgment falls, those that trust in him will be delivered and prepared for the wilderness. Verse 13, For now will I break his yoke from off thee, the yoke of iron that broke us and destroyed us as a nation. And when this time comes and happens, all that has been on us as far as racism and hatred and keeping us down and stealing our riches and our land and the hatred we have for one another and self-hate and the mean-heartedness and the haughtiness, he's saying, for now will I break his yoke, Esau, Babylon, from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Most High hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown out of the house of thy gods. I will cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. These images that we've got caught up into worshiping, all these false religions, and that we've been scattered and got caught up into false Christianity, worshiping a white Christ, Caesar Borgia, and worshiping wood and stone, a cross, and Mecca. These things have overtaken our people. We've been lost, but knowing that we have a spirituality, but worshiping the wrong things, worshiping idols. He's going to break these things off his people and those that are his people. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. When HaMashiach comes back, this will be him, and publisheth peace, for he is our peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feasts and perform thy vows. There is a commandment that says when you make a vow, do not break your vow. If you made a vow to the Most High, do not break your vow. It is a commandment. Verse 15 again, behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace. O Judah, he's talking to one tribe, keep thy solemn feasts. He points us out, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. All praises to the Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Be encouraged, for Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us in judgment we shall condemn. Judah, you have been pointed out, because Judah means praise, and Psalms 147 made it clear to us, and 148, the importance and power of praise. 2 Chronicles 22:20 tells us that Judah was sent before the battle to bring praise, because their praise caused confusion and caused people to destroy one another. Amnon, Seir, they all began to fight against one another as they laid in the cuts to try and destroy us. It was to no avail through their praise. Keep your victory. Keep your eyes on the Most High. Not on the news media, and be optimistic at all times. The only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, for truth is a journey, not a destination. I am Elder V, saying Kwam Yasharala, Shabbat Shalom, Barak Afar. May the Most High keep you, and may you continue to keep your Sabbath and stay in his way. Don't be swayed, don't be moved by everything that's going on. Our brothers and sisters, the Most High, let us know that these things will transpire. He's the one that will gather us, give us unity, and put us together. You just stay focused on what the Word says. Shabbat Shalom, Barak.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth.
I'm gonna put on an iron shirt.
can't shop it on I man. So when I check him, my last in hand, and if him slips, I got.